No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hailmary. That's hims.com/hailmary for your free online visit. hims.com/hailmary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It is a beautiful... Could they hear everything in the beginning, Nick?
Oh, yeah.
All right. It is a beautiful and glorious Friday out there. It is getting warmer. I'm at my 9-year-old's baseball game last night. I'm like, man, I better start enjoying, really taking in and enjoying the non-95 degree, non-95% humidity 9U baseball watching while I can. But for right now, it is beautiful. It is glorious outside. All right, Jake is off pretending to do other work, I assume. No, he helps with the podcast every Friday. So producer Nick is joining me today. Nick, how you doing, my friend?
What's up, Adam? It's been too long since we've been able to do a quick show.
It has been a minute, my friend. It has been a minute. All right, so I just asked you, and you said it was debunked, but I want to bring it up just because it's fun. Apparently, all right, there was rumors and innuendo that Jordan Hudson, Bill Belichick's girlfriend, was banned from the North Carolina building. North Carolina's come out and debunked this. All right. My question for you, my good friend, and there's a lot to talk about. I'm actually going to skip through the typical intro to the show because it is so loaded, from softball to football, Shedeur Sanders, Jordy Ball, et cetera, et cetera. We got a couple of clips we're going to play. We already know who the college football national champion is going to be, even though they're talking about a 16-team in 2026, 16-team playoff. But we're going to start off, why not, with a little bit of rumor and innuendo that has been debunked, but it's fun anyways. Jordan Hudson, in your opinion, if you were in charge and you could tell Bill Belichick she shouldn't be in the building, would you, first of all, this would not be an easy thing to do, but do you think it's the right thing to do? And then would you actually do it?
I would not. No, I just don't think it's that big of an issue. I think more so is you hire the people you hire to put them in a space to where they can be successful. And I think if you're Bill Belichick, you're sitting there going, you know what? My mood is better when Jordan, my girlfriend, is around me. So, you know what? Whatever's going to be best for Bill Belichick, go ahead and keep her around. That's fine. Whatever. But I just think that if you're North Carolina, if you're Bill Belichick, Adam, you and I just got done talking about this. We were like, this is everything Bill was trying to run from.
Yep.
Bill Belichick has tried to stay. Now, there's been instances, certainly, drama free. He's tried to stay out of all of this garbage. But once he moves to college football, it's a different world, and it's a different type of landscape, and it's ever changing. And I told you, I made the prediction of, like, I struggle to see it to where Bill Belichick even makes it to year two at North Carolina.
Dude, that's bold.
But even if he makes it through year one, because there's so much drama, and it feels like week after week after week, there's just so much junk that's thrown against the wall. And at one point, it's like, is this really worth it?
So you think he may not even make it through year one. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I don't know. I think, like, I would not be surprised to see it to where it's like Bill Belichick resigns. But North Carolina,
spend more time with the family.
All reality, it's North Carolina going, look, you know what? We tried to take a risk. I'm sure donations are up in terms of NIL because that's such a big part of it nowadays. Mm-hmm. Everything fundraising, the money is higher than it's ever been at North Carolina right now. A place that already doesn't struggle with NIL money because of the Jordan brand and the connections. But it's a situation as to where, you know what? We tried something. It's not going to work. Let's just part the ways, and we all try to save face.
That's an interesting thought. I do think he'll make it through year one. If there's no year two, I don't think he's going back to the NFL. There's some real beef there between Mr. Belichick, because he's earned Mr. Sir Belichick, Sir Mister, in my opinion, even though he's kind of going crazy right now, and doing things he's never done. I've sat in meetings with this guy. I've been interviewed by this guy. I've watched him at press conferences. It is no nonsense, no nothing. Shut up and do your job. They took the shut up out when they talked about it on TV. It's just do your job. No distractions, no nothing. Go do your job. And now it's the complete opposite. But I wonder, okay, there's real beef between him and a lot of the owners, not just Robert Kraft, like him in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm sure somebody would hire him, somebody who really needs a coach. And obviously, if it's Bill frickin' Belichick, somebody's going to find a way to bring him in. But when it comes to North Carolina, they're a great basketball program, a respectable football program, an iconic brand. Like if you said, hey, across all sports, list me the top 10 most iconic brands in the country, not just football, but all sports, North Carolina's got to be in there unquestionably, which is why they're actually very desirable for the Big Ten and the SEC, possibly down the road when it comes to more conference realignment in the next few years. When it comes to Belichick, to me, it reminds me of Colorado. Not that North Carolina was like a one-win team before he got there, but it's almost like you've got this rare, special, unique thing. So maybe you will tolerate certain things, like retiring somebody's number who shouldn't be retired, and you just tolerate these things because of what else comes along with them. There's a world where maybe he doesn't make it to year two. I do think he makes it to year two, but at his age, I'm curious how long he wants to be in college football coaching anyways.
Hasn't this whole thing just felt awkward anyway? Like it was past the,
yes.
I'm not even saying like the age differential. What I'm getting at is like the whole thing of Bill Belichick in college football. That was just such a weird visual piece to just get over. Well, okay, I'm past that. Right. He's a part of college football, but just the whole thing together just has never felt, number one, comfortable, and it's never felt right. And I put the quotation marks around right because it just feels so
weird
and strange.
Yeah.
But it's like a different than just like, oh, Bill Belichick's in college football. It's not that anymore. It's like, okay, he's here. But it just doesn't feel like it fits Bill Belichick. And what I would also add is this is what North Carolina's done the last two head coaches, though. They went and grabbed Mack Brown out of retirement. And now they go grab Bill Belichick out of retirement. And it makes me wonder, is this a program issue with North Carolina football specifically, or is it just happened a coincidence that they grabbed two relatively older coaches that would not fit the current college football landscape?
I don't want to say they're reaching. I think they're trying to reach the same level in football that they are in basketball. So I love and respect the effort, and maybe they get there. I would love if North Carolina was at an equivalent level in football as they are in basketball.
Sure.
I've always liked North Carolina. All right. I've always liked the powder blue. I'd walk around in a North Carolina jersey in middle school back when it was cool. Not because I like North Carolina. One, it was cool.
The brand is sexy.
I like the powder blue. I like all that. I think for me, at least Mack Brown had been there before. And I don't know if you remember this, but in 97, they had one loss the whole year to Florida State. They finished like number four in the country. So he had done it there at Chapel Hill before. And in fact, the running backs coach, Randy Jordan, when I was here at Nebraska, was with him at North Carolina at that time, I want to say as a player. Okay. And then he obviously ended up getting into coaching later on. It's interesting because obviously North Carolina has debunked. Like she's not kicked out of the building or anything like that. I was like, man, that's got to be Belichick's call. I don't know. I don't feel like he's the one in charge of that relationship. Nobody knows. Okay. Maybe she was just doing her job in that CBS interview. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
All right. For me, I was just like, man, that would be a crazy. I just didn't see that happening.
The dynamic's just strange.
Yeah, that would be weird. So anyways, all right, let's get into a little bit of Nebraska softball. The number 19 Nebraska softball team posted its 23rd Run Rule victory of the season with a 9-1 five-inning win over the Penn State Nittany Lions in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament in West Lafayette, Indiana on Thursday. With the win, Nebraska advanced to the Big Ten tournament semifinals, and they're playing UCLA. This, as I was looking at this, it was the winner of UCLA versus Indiana. So it'll be a rematch from earlier this year. UCLA is ranked number 9, Nebraska number 19. UCLA edged us out the one time we played earlier this year. And for the second straight game, Ava Kuzak was the one to seal the victory for the Huskers as she hit a walk-off single to send Jordy Ball to the plate with the game-ending run in the bottom of the fifth. Kuzak added 3 walks on the day. Ava Breadwell was 3-for-3 with a double and 3 RBIs. And Abby Squire added a triple and 2 RBIs. Bella Bacon contributed a double as well. Jordy Ball, 23-5 on the season, grabbed the win in the circle. She tossed all 5 innings and allowed 1 run and 2 hits. She struck out 9 batters in the process. Ball retired the final 12 hitters of the game, 8 via the K and or otherwise known as the strikeouts, as Penn State did not have a base runner after a leadoff walk to begin the second inning. All right. As I mentioned, Nebraska will take on UCLA today. Jordy is really, she played well this whole year. She's up for National Player of the Year honors, a whole bunch of other accolades, won a bunch of awards throughout the season as well. But if you look at her last 4 games specifically, she is pitching and she is playing her best ball when it matters the most. She's 4-0 in her last 4 starts with a .039 ERA. So the other day I was going through batting stats and there was a lot of them for the softball team. And my wife was listening. And baseball is a big deal in our house. So is soccer, obviously football. I'm coaching basketball. We do a million sports. Okay. And she goes, you really need to explain just how good Jordy's stats are. And I'm like, well, honestly, some people get, they want to hear about more players than just Jordy. Cause obviously she's doing great. There's other people on the team. She's like, no. Like her batting average, her ERA, like they're incredibly good. When you think about a 0.39 ERA, a good ERA, all right. Like the major league average ERA is around 4 for Major League Baseball. Now, softball is a little bit different style of game. The game moves faster, bunts mean more. All right, you got slapping and all that type of good stuff as well. And a .39 ERA is even more impressive, in my opinion, in softball because there are other things that teams can add to their offense, and which is why softball teams tend to score a few more runs. So a .39 ERA is absurd. Baseball, softball, and it's even crazier in baseball. She's pitched 23 innings, 4 hits, 36 Ks. I'm going to repeat that. 4 hits to 36 strikeouts and 3 complete games. So she's obviously playing phenomenal. What do you think of the matchup today? Nebraska getting another chance against UCLA to play for the championship tomorrow.
Adam, so the thing with Jordy Ball, Adam, I said this earlier. It's got to be such an incredible feeling if you're Rhonda Revelle, Olivia Farrell, that staff. Because when she's in the circle, and I know she's doing some really special things at the plate, but when she's in the circle, she gives Nebraska a chance to beat anybody.
Absolutely.
Anybody.
Yep.
And also then conversely, with a lineup that Nebraska does have from top to bottom, is you go out and score 3-4 runs a game with Jordy in the circle, you feel like you have a pretty good shot to beat a lot of teams in the country.
0.39 ERA in the last 4 games.
And that's characteristic for her, because you look at her statistics in Oklahoma and that's what she was doing there for the Sooners.
Yep.
And it's so bizarre to think about that Nebraska doesn't just have one player in Jordy Ball that has 50 runs, 50 hits, 50 RBI on the year.
Mm-hmm.
They have 2 and Ava Kuzak being the other one. It's spectacular to even think about. Jordy Ball's doing special things. Sub 1.5 ERA on the year, I believe. Mm-hmm. Just so special. The thing that shocked me was yesterday's game. You look at the way that Penn State scored their first run. They hit the first batter. Nebraska did. Jordy hit the leadoff hitter of the game. Penn State moved her over.
She was just setting
over.
The tone, by yes, the way. This play is mine. Go ahead.
She, Penn State moves her over, and they get 1 base hit with 2 outs in the first inning. And you look at it like as a baseball guy myself, I go, all right, it's not the base hit that hurts you. You'll understand this. It's not the base hit that hurts you. It's the free passes. It's the free 90s, mm-hmm. as I say in baseball. It's the free passes. It's the walks, the errors, the hit by pitches. That's what hurts you in those innings, because that run doesn't score if there's no hit batter. The base hit doesn't matter. So ultimately, though, I sit there and I go, okay, cool. You know what? Well, Nebraska's going to be fine. They put up a crooked number in the bottom half of the first inning. Everything's fine.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
To think that from the second hitter in the second inning until the end of the game, every single batter was retired has to be so mentally deflating for your opponent. Mm-hmm. And this is a consistent thing for this team. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun to watch. And Nebraska, if they're able to knock off UCLA, and I told people earlier, yes, back on February 20th, when these two teams played, UCLA beat Nebraska in six innings. It was 9-1, I believe, in that game. Nebraska's playing so much better since conference play truly started in March that I don't even concern myself with that game anymore.
In their last five games, last four of the regular season and the Big Ten tournament yesterday, they've outscored those last five opponents 39-6. Again, to Nick's point, they've set records for home runs this year, hitting a season, the amount of times they've run ruled their opponents. Okay. And this is what I was talking about. Oh, it was like February, March, the season had just started. And I was talking about how important a pitcher can be in softball, even versus baseball. I'll never forget. When my oldest daughter, Addison, started playing softball and she got into pitching, first of all, learning how to pitch in softball is its own. If you know anything about softball, you'll understand this. It's its own sport. Mm-hmm. It is its own sport entirely. If you can throw good in baseball, especially as a kid through high school, you can pitch. There's no other time in your entire life, unless you're a bowler or something, that you're going to have this underhand motion. You legit have to go learn it separately from everything else you learn in softball. It's a very unique technique-driven thing that takes a lot of time and effort. The other thing I learned, and I've talked about this, you can pitch a lot more innings in softball. I grew up pitching. I grew up, I tore my UCL. I hurt my shoulder several times. I could throw mid-90s. Didn't matter if my arm was hurt again. In softball, it's such a natural motion. You can pitch. I don't want to say like never ending amounts of innings, but you can pitch so much more. You can have so much more of an impact in a tournament, on a run, in a Big Ten tournament, a regional, a super regional, potentially a Women's College World Series run as a pitcher. Because if you're dominant, that obviously is really good for your team, bad for the opponent, but you can pitch that much more often. And it's one of the reasons a pitcher, Jordy or anyone else, can have such an impact on a softball team because of the amount of innings that you can actually pitch. To Nick's point, we can score. Now, can we find ways to score runs versus the better teams? That's been the one caveat this year, I've said, with the softball team. But they are playing their best ball right now, if you've watched them. But you put Jordy on the mound with our ability to score runs, we can beat anybody on any given day.
Yeah, 100%. And I think I said it earlier as well, like, take Jordy out of it, because we can have our own conversation about Jordy. Take Jordy out of it. Now let's look at the team just as a whole. Yeah, you have McGee that goes in the circle that can be really good in relief if Jordy needs a reliever, right? Or if Nebraska needs to get through another opponent without Jordy, right? But then you look around. You have a four-year catcher, starting catcher in Ava Breadwell, who was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year 4 years ago. You have Ava Cusack, who's come in through the transfer portal, the former Wisconsin Badger, who's been spectacular, would be up for national awards and all Big Ten mentions. We just don't talk about her because they have so many players that are so good. One is Jordy Ball, right?
Yep.
So we just don't reference Ava Cusack enough, in my opinion. You have the Kamenzon sisters who are from the state of Nebraska that transferred in from Arkansas together that are playing valuable time. Bella Bacon added some time yesterday. Abby Squire is a five-year member of this team, but also is a captain out in left field who's battled injuries and might still even be banged up to a certain extent. But then it's like you look around this entire roster in this field, and they complement each other so well to where the top half of the order, to be able to have a player like Jordy Ball lead off is incredibly detrimental. I remember talking to Rhonda Revelle about it last year when Jordy got hurt. I talked to Rhonda, and I also talked to Coach Olivia Farrell about it last season. I asked him, I said, what's the value in having somebody like Billy Andrews, who it was at the time, who's from Gretna, what's the value in having Billy Andrews lead off? And Rhonda looked at me, Coach Revelle looked at me and said, Nick, we can either, the opponent has to make a choice. You can either pitch to somebody who has over 25 home runs on the year and take your risk on that, or you can put her on base. Either way, we feel pretty good that we're going to have somebody on base with nobody out. And I've never forgotten that thought of when you can back up Jordy Ball with Ava Cusack at the lineup, and then you have somebody like Ava Breadwell yesterday in the Big Ten tournament when the lights are the brightest so far to this point of the season, go for 3 for 3. The lineup from top to bottom is so dangerous, and it's so much fun to watch.
It's if anyone remembers, we interviewed Emily Eamon. I think the softball season had just started or was right before it had started. And I said, hey, what are realistic expectations for the softball team this year? Unprompted, she goes to the Women's College World Series. Like, they have that type of talent, ability, offense, what they can do in the circle and beyond just Jordy Ball as well. So here's my question for you. We're number 19 in the country. Really good record, really good Big Ten record, number 3 seed, 17-5 overall in the regular season. In order to make sure we qualify for regionals, are we already there, or what do they have to do in the Big Ten tournament yet to make sure we're still playing after the Big Ten tournament's over?
They're in. They're into the regional. They're into the regionals. It's a matter of, honestly, Adam, can you host? There's the other part. Ooh. You have to be a top 16 team.
That'd be awesome.
You have to be a top 16 team. And I think if Nebraska wins today, they will host.
Beat number 9 UCLA?
They will host. Here is why. Without looking too far forward, look at what happened in the bottom half of the bracket yesterday. Michigan, the 8 seed, beat number 1 Oregon.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay.
8 seed in Michigan beat number 1 Oregon. So now, and then also 12 seeded Purdue beat number 4 seed Ohio State yesterday. So now in the semifinal, obviously Nebraska and UCLA, but then in the bottom one, it's 8-seeded Michigan, 12-seeded Purdue.
We beat UCLA. We got a chance. We already had a chance, but we got a good chance to win the tournament.
That is what I'm getting at. And if Nebraska is able to knock off UCLA today, you feel on paper, yes, and the Big Ten softball tournament has shown through those two upsets on the bottom half of the bracket that you can't just look on paper.
Yep.
But if Nebraska takes care of business, they have a shot to beat UCLA today. I think no matter what, if you beat UCLA, Nebraska will host. But if you win the Big Ten tournament, there is no reason that Nebraska should not be able to get 3 spots higher in the rankings and host a regional.
So basically, they're playing today for a couple of things. To get to the Big Ten championship game on Saturday, tomorrow. Also, basically, we win, we're hosting, right, in the regional. And then you got to feel pretty good about your at least odds, ability, being favored to win on Saturday if we can beat UCLA today. Real quick, man, I know you do a bunch with the Storm Chasers. You call games. Yeah. I've got a relationship with the Storm Chasers myself as well. How's their season going? What do people need to know about the Omaha Storm Chasers real quick?
It's going. I think everybody's waiting on the arrival of Jack Caglione. Everybody's waiting on the number one prospect in the Royals organization to come up. He's tearing it up in AA right now. I think everything that we're hoping for is, okay, please don't skip over AAA because you're so valuable and go straight to the majors. Please don't skip over AAA. We'll see. They just called down MJ Melendez. He's starting to hit a little bit better. The problem is the Royals are so, they're good. They're the Royals major league team, 15-2 in their last 17 games.
That's the stat I'm looking
yes,
at. Yes,
they're 15-2 in their last 17 games. The Storm Chasers won the AAA championship, the International League championship last year. That celebration was incredible, by the way. But however, what I was going to say is they've had to make some tough decisions on some guys. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a guy right now in Cam Devaney who's a shortstop for the Storm Chasers, should be up at the big leagues. But the problem is, who do you have at shortstop in Kansas City? A guy by the name of Bobby Witt Jr., who's your franchise player. He's kind of stuck in no man's land right now. He's too valuable to trade. He's not Bobby Witt Jr., so he won't get called up. So they're kind of stuck in AAA right now. So the Storm Chasers have had to make some really tough decisions on who to get rid, who to move on from, who to make some room for, things like that. But it's a lot of fun. I have a great time. I've learned a lot about the inner workings of professional baseball, things like that. JJ Piccolo's been in Omaha a couple of times this year, the general manager for the Royals. So it's been really cool just to kind of be able to learn about the inner workings on how they make decisions on when to send guys up, when to bring guys down, things like that. It's really fascinating.
So tell us just one thing before we go to break that fans would find interesting that you think most people don't know about something like that.
Well, I think it's genuinely like, so with Cags is the perfect example. If the Royals are starting to, we were told the timeline with Cags. Maybe I can't say that. Cags, there's always been a plan that Cags is going to be in the big league organization mm-hmm. at some point this season, right? And they have timelines and time frames of like, okay, this is when we want to get him up to AAA. This is when we want to get him up to the majors. Part of it is, it's not just, oh, he's one of your best young guys, let's move him up to the big leagues right away. It matters on how the team is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City started off the season real poorly, real bad. And before this 17-game stretch, it looked bleak. Mm-hmm. And so it was a situation of Cags might not get called up at the end of the year, because if the Royals aren't competing for a playoff spot or a postseason spot, does that actually hinder his development and his career? And so a big part of it is, number one prospect in the organization, he's going to draw butts to seats. Maybe that's a piece of it. But if the team's not competing, do you really want Cags? Do you really want to risk hindering his development? And so now that the Royals are back to winning and playing, you know, positive baseball, that's not necessarily the conversation, but just the how fluid things can be. And MJ Melendez, he starts off the season so poorly, and the Royals have a bad outfield right now. So it's like Cags, instead of playing first base and DH, and they're starting to play him at right field in mm-hmm. double A to see how he can adjust. And it's like these decisions that they make across the three levels, and single A's included, but across double A, triple A, and majors, is truly fascinating to see just kind of the strategy behind the scenes.
I'm not sure if, and I have a certain degree of understanding. Maybe at a later date this summer, I can diatribe how I actually thought I was going to play baseball after high school. Story for another day. But the intricacies and the chess piece that the game of baseball and softball really is, mm-hmm. I think it's undervalued at times. And it's crazy. Like, they will literally make moves based on who's on deck, who's in the hole, mm-hmm. who pitched yesterday, who's warming up out there, who's done what in their last 10 at bats, who can we sub, who's done whatever. And it's all like the manager has to make this decision in the bottom of the ninth with the game on the line.
You're right.
That's why they get paid the big bucks. But still, it's not easy.
People don't value the baseball and softball IQ enough.
Dude, Little Big League. You ever seen that movie?
No.
Hold on. Rookie of the Year is the one where he breaks his arm, pitches for the Cubs. Little Big League, he's like the smartest 12-year-old ever. His grandpa owns the Twins. His grandpa passes away, leaves the team to him. It's like around the same time as Rookie of the Year. Watch it. You'll love it. It's a great
movie. I'm sure
movie.
I will. We were talking.
Griffey and Johnson are in the movie.
Oh.
Like, for the Mariners. That's,
yes.
That's,
yeah, yeah,
just
yeah,
so you know when it was made. Yeah, it's still a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the IQ thing is so cool to see. Mm-hmm. And like to think about the strategy that goes into it, because people think, okay, yep, guy gets on first, let's bunt him over. Like, things like that. We're talking the deep intricacies mm-hmm. of the strategy. We were talking Jordy Ball to close out here. Yep. It was just announced 20 minutes ago. She is the Big Ten Pitcher of the Year, the Big Ten Player of the Year, and first team All Big Ten.
That is awesome. Congratulations. Well deserved. All right. I love that. We're not surprised, but you never want to take anything for granted either. All right. Just a final tidbit. The Royals, if you didn't know, are 23-16 on the season. They're only 2.5 games back of the Tigers. All right, man. The White Sox, are they ever going to be good? They set the record for least amount of wins last year in a season. What was it, 24?
Yep.
Something like that.
Now it's going to be probably broken by the Rockies, though. The Rockies have 6 wins, Adam. They're 6-31.
the Rockies, the A's, and the White Sox. What is going on with those three franchises, man? Yeah. All right, they're 10-28 right now, which is actually going to destroy their win total if they proceed with what they're doing this year of last year. All right, I appreciate you joining me, Nick.
I appreciate it as always.
Look forward to next time. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.